turning to the Orphan Mentality Podcast. And today, you will listen to Danida Ogandaga. She will guide you into freedom from abusive relationships and emotional hurts. So please, join us today in this timely broadcast.
About 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm coming to you all today to talk to you all about something very important. For you all know, I'm days away from giving birth to my first child, and I woke up with a very important message. It's probably the most important message that you're probably ever hear me say. And we're gonna push past the tears because there's a message. Woke up this morning with a pain. For people across the world that are experiencing hurt. And I just want to let you know that God can free you from your hurt. And nothing that you have gone through in your life will be wasted. God began to show me from the four corners of the world, people that are hurting, people that have just given up. And I began to pray and ask God to strengthen these people. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, nothing and no part of your life will be wasted. There's nothing that you have gone through in your life. And no, these are not pregnancy hormones either. I know what some of y'all may be thinking, but nothing that you have gone through in your life will be wasted. One of the things that God has been speaking to me about is empty me. And all of us need to be emptied by God. All of us don't need to go to a shallow grave. We need to go empty. When God calls us home, we need to go empty and fulfilled and being able to be a blessing to everyone, meaning everything that we have gone in through in life, all of the brokenness, all of the hurts, all of the pains, those things need to be a blessing to someone else. There is someone out there that's waiting on you, whom you will be the only person that person can be a blessing to and receive from. So I just want to encourage you, nothing and no part of your life will be wasted. If it looks as though you've gone through something, I just want you to know that God can reshape you. He is in the business of reshaping. God told his disciples in John 6:12 to gather up the fragments, the broken pieces that are left over, so that nothing will be lost and wasted. This is when he began to feed the 5,000 with the 2 small fish and the loaves of bread. He said, gather up everything. The crumbs, gather up everything. Why did he do that? Because he wanted the small loaves of fish, small loaves of bread and the fish to be an offering to God so that he could multiply it for those that are out there. And that's the reason why he multiplied and told the disciples to gather those things up. And we're looking around and we're seeing all this paper on the floor, and I'm saying gathering the paper, gather all these things together. But just saying why? Because at some point someone is going to need to hear the things that are written on those papers. Someone is not going to need to hear your testimony. Someone is going to need to be set free by what it is that you have gone through in your life. I woke up this morning, and while God was showing me that, he also began to show me about my father. And for those that know, you know, Father's Day is coming up, and I, you know, released a podcast around Mother's Day to talk to you about the loss of my mother and how, you know, devastating that was, and how God, you know, gave me promises that I could take to the bank regarding her death and the fact that, you know, he wants me to continue to minister about the orphan mentality. Well, he did the same thing this morning about my father. It's like the whole way that my father passed away. I was in college and I was at school and got a phone call early morning that my dad had been put into the emergency room by my brother. And I was a little baffled because I was like, well, he's had 3 kidney transplants and 55 operations. He's very resilient, so he's just going in for a routine and he'll be fine. But then they began to let me know that it's much worse and he had a massive heart attack and they were putting a pacemaker in. And so by the time my sisters came and got me, we were on our way to Kinston. And by the time we got in Raleigh, my sister pulled over. And all of a sudden they looked at me and I was like, what's wrong? And they said, Dad just died. And I remember kicking and screaming and saying, no, no, I can't believe it. No, no, I can't believe it. I thought my world had ended right then. And I know that you know, when I began to pray, God began to show me that he wants me to be completely empty. He's already healed my heart. And he's already allowed me to be able to come forth with this orphan mentality. And a part of that is receiving healing for myself. Even while I'm ministering healing to you all. A lot of times we look at people like Joyce Meyer and we wonder, like, how can she preach having gone through all the years of molestation? And she even said so herself. I wonder sometimes why God is using me to stand before thousands and thousands of people when I myself, in her early years of ministry, am still trying to come to terms with what happened to me. But I tell you, God has a plan. He declared that nothing will be wasted in our life. In Isaiah 61, he gave some promises for persons that have gone through situations in their life. And he wanted us to make a quality decision that we will never give up until we have allowed God to come in and to heal those places in our life. But that's our role. Joyce made a quality decision that she would push past the pain, that she would push past and realize that when she got up and spoke before those thousands and talked to them about the healing power of God's love, the same quality decision that I made when God told me that I was going to do these podcasts. He said that, you know, sometimes your pain may try to come back. The grief may try to come back. But you have to push past that and remember the promises and to remember the decision that you made to follow me. And as long as you do that, God said that he will bind up our wounds in Isaiah 61. He said he will heal our, he would liberate us in every area of our life. He would open our prison door. He would give us joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of heavy and burden-failing spirit. And he would give us beauty instead of ashes. Now, I know you may be thinking, beauty instead of ashes? There's some of us who are in a very tore-up state. Some of us who have mutilated our bodies with tattoos, and some of us who have mutilated our body with piercings. But I'm telling you, when I had all those piercings, when my parents had first passed away, I was trying to run to something that could soothe me. And I got all these tattoos and all these piercings. And then once I received the love of God, I looked back at these things, just as Jesus probably did on the cross, looking at his hands. And I'm sure that that was a reminder of what he had gone through at our expense, the price that he had paid for us. And likewise, I look at those tattoos and I look at those piercings in my life as scars. But I promise you, having made the quality decision, my prison door has been open. You know, a lot of people go to prison sometimes, and while they're in prison, they get a lot of tattoos and they probably get a lot of piercings and stuff. And all those things are just opportunities for numbness. opportunities for us to put on display hurt that we may be feeling on the inside. And I'm not saying that everyone that gets a tattoo has gone through something traumatic, but there are a lot of people that choose to go that route to decorate their bodies in that way because they have experienced something traumatic. I know that was my experience. I had never thought about tattoos. I never thought about piercings. But when I did it, it was like this numbing effect. I could not think about anything else. And plus, I was under the influence of marijuana at the same time. But I didn't want to think about the pain. I didn't want to think about anything. I had this symbol of strength. And I had these piercings of glory and victory to keep me in view. But when that high came down, my prison door was still shut. A lot of times you all are waking up across the world right now listening to this podcast, and you're going shopping, you're going eating, you're going to the refrigerator, you're going to the finest restaurants, and you're realizing that even when you spend that money, you come home and you're feeling empty. That's letting you know that it's something greater that's going to happen, that's going to need to take place in order for you to experience the healing that you need. A credit card, a Prada suit, Prada sunglasses, Manolo Blahnik shoes cannot penetrate. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, let me get my Bible. Hold on 1 second. So we can get this right, give it to you the way that it's supposed to be given. Hebrews 4 and 12. Hebrews 4 and 12 says that the word of God that speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul and the immortal spirit, joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So Hebrews 4 and 12 goes deeper than any addiction, any piece of garment that we have. It can go to that very issue that you are feeling that may be lodged in your heart. I remember there was a time when I was going through the grieving process and didn't really understand what I was feeling. It felt like my heart was just beating so fast and it felt like a bubble was inside of my chest. And God began to tell me that that was grief and I needed to just continue to confess Hebrews 4 and 12, that the word of God can go deeper than where my hand can go. I could put my hand over my chest and pray, but it's like that pain would still be there. I could, you know, go and, you know, try to do things like go to grief counseling and stuff, but that pain was still there. I had to pray and ask God to bind up that wound, to go deeper than a surgeon's knife could, and heal me, heal my broken heart. And he did, y'all. And the same way that he did it for me, he can do it for you. And that's why I say that nothing will be wasted, because I'm telling you, once God does go in and heal you and give you his unconditional love, you can take that love and you can share that love with other people and let them know, hey, you know, God wants to open your doors. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to bind up. He wants you to be free in every area of your life. So I want to pray with you today. And I just want you to know that, you know, a lot of times we feel as though, you know, because we, you know, make a decision to follow God, that we won't experience pain. But I want you to know that God's word declares in Psalms 34:19 that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us from them all. We have to meet him halfway. We have to let him know. It may not seem like we're being delivered immediately, but I promise you, you have to go through some things first. Deliverance is progressive. You can receive it by faith, but you have to walk some things out in the natural to be able to receive that healing. But I promise you that God will deliver you if you reach out to him and run to him. The world is so full of dark things, and the world is so full of, you know, situations that try to make us think that we can never recover. But I want to let you know also, John 12 and 46 says that Jesus is the light of the world. He's come to be the light. And if we cleave and trust and rely on him, he will lift us out of darkness and bring us into the light. So I just wanted to encourage you all to continue to follow God. Reach out to him. He loves you. I apologize. You know what? I don't apologize for the tears. But like I said, I had to wake up. Usually it's the baby that's kicking early in the morning that wakes me up. But after having spent some time with the Lord last night before I went to bed, he began to show me, you know, at the four corners of the world, people that were just slumped over in chairs, and people that were just crying for no reason. And this is the reason why, because they need their prison doors open. They need to realize that they can recover from being molested. They can recover from drug abuse. They can recover from a layoff. They can recover from a food addiction. Yes, you get that gastric bypass, but you still have that fat, that excess fat that's still hanging there. Go out and use it as a testimony for someone and let them know how you came to vision and you decided to now, you know, live a healthy lifestyle. Encourage someone today. Let them know that those, you know, shopping addictions that you had, how God brought you out and how he set you free from those things. Let your testimony be known. That's the reason why we go through things, people. It's so that we can have a testimony to share with other people. We don't go through those things for ourselves so that we can just put them in our journal and just, you know, what happens when you pass away? What happens to your journal then? Why not allow your journal to be a living testimony of your life while you live? Why not let someone know how God brought you through? Yeah, you may have been, you know, 50 now, and, you know, this may have happened to you when you were 25, but I promise you, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that has probably happened at some point in our lives have happened to someone else in another part of this world. There's nothing new. So I just want to pray with you all. And if you could just close your eyes and just know that God has a good plan for us. His plan is to give us peace, and his plan is to give us an expected end. Lord, I believe that you love us, God, and that you can take all of the broken pieces in our life and make them out to be something for your good. Romans 8:28, in your word, says that all things are working together, fitting out into a plan for good for those who are called according to your design and your purpose. We love you, Lord, and we believe that you've forgiven us for the things that we have done. We receive your healing for our broken heart, and we thank you that you will give us the confidence to push past the pain, to accept the fact that our prison door is open, and to use our lives as a testimony for someone else. I thank you, Father, that our pains will not be wasted. Nothing that we have gone through will be wasted. Thank you that you are turning our messes into masterpieces. Thank you that you're turning our trials, God, into triumphs. Thank you, Father, for your unconditional love. God's unconditional love is being sent to you. The word of God says that God sent his word and delivered you from your destruction. I'm putting my arms around you now to let you know that God loves you. I'm sending forth God's word, my brothers and sisters, to let you know that God has a great plan for you. There is no devil in hell that can keep you from following the plan that God has for you. And you can run all you want. You can run to lesbianism. You can run to homosexuality. You can run to food addiction. You can run until you are broke in your bank. But I promise you, God will find you, and he will clean you up, and he will take you as his own, and he will love you better than that pimp. He'll love you better than that hooker. He'll love you better than those Manolo Blahnik shoes. He will love you unconditionally. Just want to let you know that I love you today. This may be a bit somber, but I really wanted to just capture and let you know that nothing in your life will be wasted. Just like we have a recycling plan in America that's being pushed to try to help us to preserve the earth, God wants to preserve you. He wants to recycle and redeem you from all of your hurts and from all of your pains. So I promise you, our stimulus package today is to continue to live. That's the best success that you can give to the devil. When he tries to tell you that you need to pump your body full of all these things, live. Live. When he tells you that you should kill yourself, cry out to God and live. Live. That's the best success that you can give to the enemy, is to live. Cry out to God and ask him to fill you with his love so that you can love like nothing else in this world, and so that you can be the very best for him. I love you, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Okay, bye-bye.
If you want more information about Danida Ogandaga and our book club, you can reach her at danidaogandaga@hotmail.com. Danida Ogandaga, DANITAOGANDAGA @hotmail.com. And if you are in Atlanta, you can come and assist to our Esther Day Book Club at 6 p.m. every first Sunday of the month at Barnes & Noble's in Fayetteville, Georgia. Thank you so much for your love and support.